Good afternoon.
What we've been talking about lately is the role of the Holy Spirit in making real our union with Christ. So just briefly a reminder again that if you're a Christian, what makes you a Christian is that you've been placed in the very life of Jesus and that you get to participate in the life that he lives. That's what makes you a new creation. And what an amazing new creation it is. He talks about this new creation experiencing new life, the supernatural life that Jesus lives. That's amazing. And the role of the Holy Spirit in that relationship, we're told, is that he's the Spirit of truth. And Jesus is the truth. He said he was. And so the Holy Spirit's job, he's even referred to as the Spirit of Jesus several times in the New Testament, is to guide us into all truth, to teach us all things Jesus, so that we know how to steward this life of Christ. It's one thing for you and I to be grafted into the very life of Jesus. It's one thing for Christ himself to live in you. It's another thing for us to know how to steward that life, how to participate in that life, because it is different than what we normally have lived, how we've normally lived. The word holy means other, distinct. And the life that Jesus lives is totally other than what our flesh does. Jesus responds to things different than what we do in the flesh. He sees people different than the way we see people. He feels about things different than the way we do in our flesh. His mindset is different. His disposition is different. Everything is different. And he responds in action totally different than we do in our flesh. So that's why the scripture says the renewing of your mind is what transforms you. Because even though Christ lives in you, prepared to live through you, stewarding a life that's totally other than what you're used to doing, that's not dictated by things that have happened to you or how people have treated you. You understand what I'm saying? You know, the classic definition of neurosis is frozen pain. And our weakness is that each of us have different weaknesses. Maybe your weakness is an anger, or fear, or greed, or lust, or pride, or stubbornness, whatever. It could be unique weaknesses. Those are all the result of the fall. And many of the things that are in us are there and still dominate our lives because of things that have happened to us, the way we process truth and reality. And so we're used to living like that. So even now you're born again and Christ is living in you, you're having to learn to live by the life of another who's totally other than how we lived life before. And the Holy Spirit's job is to teach me that. An example would be, I was talking to the Lord about something this morning and wondered how it's going to turn out. And the Lord said to me, he said, everything's going to be really good. And I said, well, that didn't help me much because you didn't let me know how things are going to turn out. He said, no, that should help you a lot. Because what that means is that no matter how things turn out, everything's going to be really good. Because all things work together for good, right? Or I may be walking into a meeting and some of the places where I go, meetings that I do, people want to talk to me and visit. And you know, like I'm trying to, like I'm going somewhere, right? Like I'm trying to get from this point to that point. And so I've already decided I don't want to be interrupted. I want to be sweet about it, but I don't want to be interrupted. But see, just being sweet about it isn't transformation. That's just faking it. And so as I'm walking maybe out the aisle or whatever, not here, but in some other setting, and somebody comes to interrupt me, and I'm going, Lord, I really don't want to. And then Jesus, I'll hear Jesus speak, the Holy Spirit speaking to me the truth. truth is, Jesus is saying, that's the most important person you've ever talked to. And what you're about to say is the most important word you've ever heard, because that's how he sees everybody. We've used that example a lot, but that's what, this is some examples of. One time someone had done something, and Jesus said that the Pharisees and stuff, they hated him without cause. And most of the time, not most of the time, there are times when we do things that we wish we could take back, and it causes people to have an attitude. No, they shouldn't, because that's not Christ. But there are in our life a lot of times when we really don't know what we did wrong. Has that ever happened to any of you? And so some fellow employee or friend or boss or husband, wife, whatever, just starts to cop this attitude towards us. And so I was just in the situation and somebody kind of copped an attitude towards me, and I could not figure out what I'd done wrong. So I didn't know how to fix it. And finally one night I just said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And I was finding myself getting anxious about it. But the problem is Jesus doesn't get anxious. So I knew that wasn't the other life I'm supposed to be living. And so I just started listening, and the Holy Spirit said, he spoke the voice of Jesus in me. He said, I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's just love them more. And I thought, well, how does that fix anything? And he said, because it'll fix you. And the moment I surrendered to that and joined him, allowing him to take over my emotions and thoughts, all of a sudden I was free. Because it didn't matter that they had an attitude towards me. It didn't bother me anymore. I just loved them more. Do you understand? That set me free without anything changing. That's the kind of life that Jesus lives. So there's a great example in Luke chapter 2. This is when Jesus is being presented at the temple as a child, baby, to be dedicated to the Lord. He's the firstborn. So it says, as they were coming, they were going to present a turtle dove as an offering. It says, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, looking for Jesus. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death because he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when his parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms. Simeon took Jesus into his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, you do let your bondservant, speaking of himself, depart in peace. I can die now, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation of Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Now I know this is about an external encounter, that he sees who Jesus is and he holds him in his arms. But I want you to see this in light of an internal encounter. Jesus Christ lives in you. And Jesus Christ is the truth about every situation. Whatever's going on in your life, the Holy Spirit wants to guide you into all truth. And he's the truth about every situation. Doesn't mean he calls the situation, but how he sees it, how he feels about it, what he thinks about it, and how he wants to act in relationship to it, that's the truth. That's legitimate behavior. Any other behavior is illegitimate. Any other behavior is flesh. And what I loved about Simeon is it says that even though Jesus, he said he was prepared in the presence of all the people, but only Simeon and an 84-year-old woman named Anna recognized that that was the Christ there at the temple. Now, he was prepared in the presence of all people. But they were the only two that saw him and recognized who he was. Now, why is that? Because in both cases, it says they were looking for him. Probably one of the most important things a Christian will ever learn in terms of walking in the Spirit is that day by day, situation by situation, moment by moment, conversation by conversation, relationship by relationship, I'm looking to him who lives in me. And I want to know the truth about how he sees this. I want to surrender to him. When he says that he was a righteous and devout man looking for Jesus, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. A righteous and devout life is a life that's looking to Jesus. And when you do that, the Holy Spirit will be on you. And there'll be something supernatural about everything you do in life. I know lots of Christians. I'm old enough now where I've been around a bunch. I've had the privilege to minister to a lot of Christians in a lot of different places. But it's tragic how few Christians I know walk their walk looking for Jesus. What I mean by that is, again, if somebody does something to you that you don't like and you get offended with them, then that's not righteousness or devout life. And the Holy Spirit will not be on you. Be dealing with that situation on your own, doing the best you can with your willpower and your intellect and your frustration and your anger. But if in that moment when somebody's doing something to you, you look to Jesus and you hear Jesus say, why don't we just love them more? I remember one time somebody was walking by me, and there was someone that, this was a long time ago, so nobody here. And I shared this, I did the oh no's. You know what the oh no's are? Like, oh no, there they are again. And as it's coming out of my mouth, oh no, I heard the Holy Spirit in me, who's guiding me into all truth, all things true about Jesus, the Holy Spirit say, I really like that person. No, you. And I thought, well, I guess I do. Because I don't want to live an independent life from you. And I love it, he said, when they stop and talk to us, don't you? Oh, man. What was he doing? Giving me a chance to repent. The word repent comes from two Greek words, think with. He's giving me a chance to surrender to him and think with him. And therefore, think as him, feel as him. And then the response to that is behave as him. And stop and show that person honor that every human being deserves. You hear me? So because I looked to Jesus, because we react and respond to life all the time, don't we? And it comes fast and furious sometimes. But if you practice the presence of Christ, looking to him who lives in you, the Holy Spirit will guide you in that. All things Jesus. And so instead of reacting to people, reacting to situations, you're responding to him. Then you're reacting from him. And now what's happening? You're walking in righteousness. You're walking in the unbrokenness of Jesus. You want to know what it means to be righteous? It means that you actually have, you've been grafted into the innocence and the unbrokenness of Jesus. So that in your weakness, his strength is made perfect. And in that situation, so that thing in you that wants to get offended, you know, you're going to fight back. Now the unbrokenness of Jesus takes over. That's a righteous and devout life. And the Holy Spirit will be upon you. And you'll see Jesus do it. I mean this in a holy way. You'll see him do magic. He does amazing things. But you ever discover that when you react out of your flesh, it just gets worse? I like it better when the Holy Spirit's on what I do. So if you'll just look to him, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all things Jesus, step by step. He will call your attention when you're starting to walk in the flesh, and he will guide you into what's true about Jesus, because nothing that they're doing and nothing that they've said changes the truth about who Jesus is, and therefore who Jesus is in you, and how Jesus wants to live through you. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.